Delighted to be joining me on the line, Richard Jobson. He's worked from school punk to modern day film producer. He was only 15 years old when he launched The Skids. Loads of stuff happened from then until now in his life. He's written about it in a new book. He joins me live on the line from somewhere backstage, I'm sure he'll tell me. Richard Jobson, good afternoon to you.
Yay, good afternoon.
That really was a true spirit of punk to get you here live on the line. Tell me a little bit about where you are, what you're up to today.
This is the start of the Skids tour 2018, and we're up in Yorkshire, up in the Dale, so it's been very difficult to get a phone signal to speak to you, so I had to go and stand on top of a mountain. And that's where I am right now.
Matt, it's good to have you with us. Tell me a little bit about, because, you know, I remember as a Kello youth of about, I don't know, about 14, watching you on Top of the Pops and thinking, where on earth did this lot come from? They're brilliant. How did it all start for you?
Well, we came from a quite tough, rough part of Scotland, and the music at the time really didn't reflect the world as we saw it. You know, a lot of the big bands and the kind of music that was available to us just didn't connect with us, and me and a few like-minded people met up. We would go and see bands that we liked, that were a bit cooler, a bit more interesting, had more of an edge. And then just at that moment in time, punk rock happened. And it was the answer to our dreams, really. And we decided to embrace the spirit of punk, which was very much do-it-yourself. Start a band, start our own record label, do our own fanzine. And, you know, we were a bunch of feral kids from nowhere. So suddenly been given this amazing opportunity to go and express ourselves and hopefully find an audience who shared the same views as we did. And it happened very, very quickly. I mean, it really was a rags to riches story. Well, I don't know about the riches part, but rags to kind of slightly less rags.
And you came across, I mean, you founded the Skids with Stuart Adamson and, you know, a seminal artist, both the pair of you, for Scottish music and that particular type of Scottish music for the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, certainly him more than me. I mean, I wouldn't ever describe myself as a musician. That would be bordering on arrogance, but certainly Stuart was a very individual musician. He created a sound for the Skids that made us a little bit more interesting than most of the other punk bands at the time. And he gave us a kind of unique songwriting style, which made songs like Into the Valley, which he just played, Masquerade Saints Are Coming, all those songs really stood out, I think, because of his guitar playing. And of course, he went on to even more success with his next band, Big Country, whereas I dabbled, as you said, in many different things.
So, it was a very quick... One minute you're getting together as a bunch of, you know, and you were very young, 15 years old when you formed the group, and the next thing you're on Top of the Pops. How did you adjust to the roller coaster? I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, the roller coaster ride of fame and fortune, or just fame.
Well, I think each day we just took it by the horns and went with it, and to me it was an exciting journey. Stuart was much more of a homeboy. He liked coming home to Scotland, and he had a girlfriend by that time, and, you know, he had kind of ambitions to have a home and a family. I was the opposite. I wasn't interested in any of those things. I wanted to just embrace, you know, the opportunities that were coming my way. So I think we were very fortunate. You know, there was a lot of luck involved for us that our first couple of records managed to get on Top of the Pops. And that TV show in the UK at the time was so big that you suddenly were transmitted into millions and millions of people's homes on a Thursday evening. And I think our performance was quite explosive. So some people thought we were borderline insane, and other people, you know, like young people like yourself at the time, thought it was kind of magical, you know. So we connected with a whole new audience through that. But the Skids were very individualistic. We always stuck to our own thing. We didn't, you know, our record company was very frustrated by us because they wanted us to become a little bit more mild-mannered and a little bit more commercial. And we just stuck to what we wanted to do and made the music that we wanted to do. But essentially, the lifespan of the band was very short, although we had amazing success. And we stopped when we were at our peak. You know, the last gig we ever played was selling out the Hammersmith Odeon, which is quite an achievement. And then we didn't ever play ever again. So, you know, it was a remarkable thing. I think we probably went our separate ways because, you know, I was already traveling into Europe, living in Berlin by that time. and the Stuart, my songwriting partner, really had a home in Scotland, and he just wanted to be in Scotland. He didn't want to be on that big journey into the big wide world that I wanted to do.
I mean, you talked about going to Berlin. I mean, what was it like for you to discover Europe? Because in the book, Into the Valley, you talk about the library being, when you were younger, one of your favourite places, and you talk about the literary references to Into the Valley. I mean, you're a thoughtful songwriter. Did you find it was much easier to get away from people's preconception of you being the skids then when you were in Berlin?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think I didn't really care about what people thought about me, and I still don't, actually. I mean, you know, some people think I'm an idiot and some people think I'm okay, you know, so I'm not going to change their minds. I'm not going to try and change their minds. You know, people have preconceptions about things, and sometimes they want to stick with those preconceptions. So I learned at a very early age, don't waste your energy trying to change other people's views. Just do what you want to do and get on with it. So, as you said, I decided from a very early age to travel into Europe, and Berlin seemed, I think, probably because of the David Bowie connection, and secondly, the art that I was really inspired by was from the Weimar period, you know, in the 1920s in Berlin. And Berlin's a frontier city. It's always had that edge, and you know, I always had the kind of decadence about it. It was always very political, and had a dark, dark edge. And there was a great punk scene there, of course, in Kreuzberg, where I am still to this day living. So it gave me everything that I needed, really. It gave me a kind of incredible energy. You met a lot of like-minded people, and also you met a lot of nihilistic people who were doomed, you know, from the first moment you met them. But that was very exciting, you know, when you're 17, 18, 19 years old in that kind of environment. And it was very inspiring for me to write songs about it. David Europa, you know, I mean, those lyrics would have never happened if I hadn't been making those journeys.
And how did you get into being, in front of the camera as a presenter doing the art stuff? How did that all come about?
Well, I just think I've been very lucky in some things in life. I've also been very unlucky with other things, but it's a case of being in the right place at the right time. When I came back to the UK from my travels, I mean, I came back from Berlin in the 80s, and something was happening in the UK. They realized that there was a whole gaping hole in the market in media, which, you know, their idea of youth TV is still children's TV. They didn't realize there was an other age group from maybe 12 to 21, 22 that were more interested in music and fashion and, you know, a whole array of different things. And suddenly some smart producers realized that let's try and fill that market. And also at the time, they wanted to change the style of presentation so it wasn't that very reserved kind of BBC style of presenting, which was a bit stuffy and establishment. They wanted people who were a little bit more irreverent and who had accents, like my accent, and who, you know, obviously had an attitude. And I ticked all those boxes at the time, I think. And so they gave me an opportunity to present a TV show. And it was great fun. I really enjoyed it. The thing, I must say, my relationship with television was always quite vague. I don't think ever took TV very seriously as a medium. And I think that's what got me through it, you know, just by not saying, you know, be serious about what you're doing. But the actual medium itself, I didn't really feel that comfortable in that world. But, you know, it was a means to an end in some ways, because it gave me the opportunity when I watched it at Sky TV, working in their movie department, to make my first film, you know, and I made a film for them, and then I made a film for the dreadful Harvey Weinstein after that in Miramax, and then I directed a movie which was based on my own little memoir, which was called 16 Years of Alcohol, which went on to become a huge success for me. So, you know, it was a magic period and great fun, and I enjoyed every minute of it. But I think I embrace everything that I do with the same sense that I must get some fun out of it as well as you know, take it seriously or as seriously as I can, but I've still got to get some fun out of it. And I think at the moment, in 2018, it's a golden moment. You know, at the start of this year, who would have believed that the Skids would have released a new album that went into the UK charts? I released my first ever novel, The Speed of Life, and then my biography, as you mentioned a moment ago, Into the Valley, all coming out within weeks of one another. You know, it's been quite startling. It almost feels like the punk era again, when things just happen because you made them happen.
I mean, why do you think the time was right then to write this book? Because you're quite, it's a snapshot of a certain period of time. You take it up to, was it 1981, really, with the book?
Yeah.
Why was the time right? Is it because the Skids got back together again? Obviously,
yeah,
without
so.
Stuart. But.
I think that's absolutely right. It was, the whole story for me is, you know, it's probably more complex and more interesting, but I think. For the tour, something that we wanted to be as part of the tour, can you hear that terrible noise in the background?
I can indeed.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That's the Skids warming up, I'm afraid to say. I thought I was in a quiet dressing room up the top of the building, and I was told it would be absolutely fine to sit up here.
It adds colour, don't worry, it adds colour.
Well, thank you. But the book, as you rightly said, why is it only up to 1981? Well, it's just the first part of the story, you know. And I did the book in a really interesting way. I obviously wrote my novel in front of a word processor, but the Into the Valley book, I narrated it into a recording device. And I think that was really interesting because, it made me more honest about stuff. I didn't self-edit myself. I think this is... can you hear anything that I'm saying?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Don't worry about that. It's an interesting way to... Because normally I say to people, well, you know, what was it like, you know, writing and going over the memories? But I knew that you spoke... It was almost like a spoken word this time, Rad. What was it like going through those memories and the pictures as well?
Well, I think some of the memories were really tough because my childhood was quite difficult. And... I had a terrible accident when I was a kid. I got run over by a motorcycle and developed a condition of epilepsy because of that. And that stayed with me to this day. And I talk about it in the book. And I've never really talked about it before. And I also talk about my girlfriend in Berlin committing suicide, which, you know, I don't think I've ever even told anybody about that. So, there's some surprising things in the book. And I think if I'd written it, you know, as I wrote my novel, I don't think I'd have been as honest as I was. So I think the way it just came out, it just came out and it's very honest and very candid, and I think it probably makes it a better book to read.
I mean, did you keep a diary or a log during the touring days and the recording days, or did you just come back to you the more you said, oh, that and this and the other?
I did keep a diary, actually, and... I something that I kept almost every day. So a lot of the memories were, you know, down there for me to look. But my diaries were quite weird. I almost used to write, what was I reading today? What did I see in the street? What did I hear someone say? And what movie did I see that evening? So it wasn't just about my own kind of self-indulgent thoughts.
So what is it like then being back on the road with the Skids now after, what is it now, it was almost 30 years?
Well, the Skids, is the music of the Skids, as you would have heard when you played Into the Valley at the start of this interview, is a very physical music. And if you look back to any of the shots of us on YouTube or any live stuff, we were a really physical band. But in that period, I was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. So I'm a bit older than that now. So the trick is, how do you deliver the same physical performance? Because those songs demand that you physically perform them. You know, you can't hide behind the guitar. You can't stand still and gaze at your shoes or hide behind your reputation. You've got to perform those songs or they don't work. So I've had to get myself pretty fit. And it's really quite something, I tell you, to perform these songs at night. every night, you know, to people who, the biggest surprise for me is it's the amount of people who have been interested. I have been quite humbled by that, you know. I just felt probably we would get very small audiences, but it'd be a really nice relationship. But the audiences have been pretty big, and they seem to be getting bigger. You know, I think people are bringing their kids along now, you know, for a second bite at the skids. And a lot of people who saw the band when they were 12 or 13, like yourself, on Top of the Pops, never got a chance to see us live, and are now taking that opportunity, you know. So we've got lots of people who are coming along, you know, who would have seen those performances on Top of the Pops. And also, at the very last days of the skids, we did something called Skids for Kids, where we turned up, if we were playing Brighton or Liverpool or Glasgow or wherever, we would turn up at a school that we would select in the back of a lorry at lunchtime and play like 8 songs to the kids. So we'd be the first band that they ever saw, and it'd be in their schoolyard. So those people have been coming along to the gigs now because they remember that moment, you know, like it was a very special moment for them, the first band they ever saw.
Absolutely, and also it was a really good logo to be able to put on your duffel bag at school, the Skids logo. I remember that really well.
Well, you know, it's the it seems to me that we stuck to our values in the beginning, and we stuck to the same values now at this point in time. You know, there's a bit of integrity with band. We'd never exploit our fan base. We'd never feel that we shortchange them, and we deliver most evenings, you know, when we perform. It's a really big physical performance from a bunch of guys who are not children anymore.
If people want to find out some more about yourself and the book is called Into the Valley. It's out now on Wymore Publishing. It sounds like they were warming up without you behind there, Richard. How can they find more information? Do you do the internet thing? Can they find you that way?
It's so noisy.
I know. I'm just saying, if people want to find out more about you or about the book, because I'll let you get on because I know you got your sound check in and whatever, how can they find, do you have an internet presence? How can they find and get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, if they want to get a hold of my novel, they can just get it from the skids.com, or Unbound, the publisher. But both books are available through Amazon, so, you know, you get a hold of Into the Valley. Into the Valley is released today. This is the day of its release, so it's available on Amazon from this minute.
And it'll also be available as a download as well on the Talk Radio Europe virtual bookshop. The book is called Into the Valley. Richard, good luck with the gigs tonight. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thanks for having me. Sorry about the noise.
It's all part of the punk thing. I'm going to call out. I'm going to play out with a bit of The Saints Are Coming. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.